Hello, this is Alan Cornell coming in. Hello?
Hi, Alan. It's Robert.
Is this Robert?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hi, this is Christian Tolan, Andrew Johnson, and Jason Kwan.
This is Nathan Grace and Mike Dwyer.
Alan Cornell, I'm here.
Stephanie's here.
Okay, so Alan Cornell. Stephanie, there was somebody from Anne Arundel County.
No, your mom. Ron Dillon.
Hi, Ron.
Hello. Jay Davis, Prince George's.
So I think we have a forum, Chris. We have Laurel, Anne Arundel, Prince George's, and Howard.
Yep. We sent out the materials about 45 minutes ago. I apologize we didn't get them out sooner. We attached the sheet with all of the comments and the staff responses, and then there was a second attachment, and it's a sort of summary of each of the routes. The service says it's existing today. The service as it was proposed at the public hearing, and then our staff recommendations. We did make some changes to the service based on the comments that we received at the public hearing and via written correspondence.
Kristen, would you summarize for the commissioners what changes you've made to what you had prior sent out based on feedback you got?
Okay. So on the 404, based on the feedback, we realigned the proposed route to include the hospital.
Good.
And those are the exterior stops of Howard County Community College to make up that time instead of going on the campus. In addition, we are going to serve the Robinson Nature Center Wednesday through Sunday when they're open during business hours on an on-demand basis. So if someone, just like the courthouse service right now, where they have to call and actually schedule if they want to go to the Robinson Nature Center. On the 408, based on the comments regarding the accessing the Target and the Walmart, we made an adjustment to the 408, and I'll let one of you guys want to describe it a little more in depth.
Okay, we took the 408 and the 501, both had half-hour service buses. So what we did was we developed two new routes, the 402 and 412, to configure the buses to start at the same time at the Walmart. One bus would go directly from Columbia Mall to Walmart, over to Columbia Crossing, then up to Parkview Senior Center, and then over to Shalom Square, and then across 10 more back up to Columbia Medical Plan to back to Columbia Mall. The same bus is going to serve the same area going in the opposite direction. At the same time, they're going to depart Columbia Mall, serve the medical plan, then go down to Tamar, go across Tamar, go to Shalom Square, serve Parkview Senior Center, then Columbia Crossing, then Dobbins Center, Walmart, and then shoot straight back to Columbia Mall, thus giving a one-hour headway service to and from Columbia Mall, servicing these individuals with a one-seat ride in the Long Reach, Shalom Square, Parkview area to both the Columbia Crossing and Walmart Dobbins Center.
What about the bus stop and the class and the whole craziness of the Walmart Dobbin Center walking across the road bus stop location?
What, I mean, look at
wasn't part of the proposal, but we have started in the county, we have started the process of addressing, looking into relocating those stops. Currently at the Dobbins Center, which is a Walmart, there are four individual stops, two sets of pair stops that serve that shopping center. The comments all was in regards to the pair stop that's across the parking lot of Walmart, which straddles, which is on either side of a travel lane that cuts to the shopping center. However, there are two other stops that serve right at the shopping center, so we're looking into removing those two unsafe and inaccessible stops to enhance the stops that are directly connected to the shopping center and the sidewalk, so no one would have to walk across the parking lot to get to the stop. They would all be connected by the sidewalk on the front side of the shopping center.
These
distances are possibly the same. Right, the walking distance is the same as if they were walking across the parking lot. It's just this way, they don't have to walk across the parking lot, and the stop would be much more accessible. In fact, they could use the stop now. I mean, it's an option. It's there right now, but they, for whatever reason they're using, they're choosing to use those two stops across the parking lot. So what we're trying to do now is enhance the ones that we want them to use, and then remove the inaccessible and unsafe location.
What about the one where it's got the circle? Was that Shalom Square where people were?
Yeah.
Marking with the police department?
So we went out there on site the other day, and we've taken photos of that location, and we forwarded over to Department of Public Works to see if we get more signage. There's no parking signage on that curb side. There's a sign that just says, from this point forward, you can park for 4 hours, but there's no parking sign in the areas that we don't want them to park. So we took photos and forwarded them to DPW to look at it and put in request to put, no parking signs all along that curb.
Good. But right, try to stay on that, because the sooner we make something happen, the more responsive the riders will feel, those riders that were complaining.
But you do have to put the signs up, and then you have to work with the police to be sure that they're enforcing it very heavily, and then that will stop the problem.
Right. So the enforcement piece is
right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So those are all of the changes. Those are the changes that are different from the proposal.
Could I just ask a question? Because it sounded like some folks were not aware that they could get to BWI, but they have to transfer to an Anne Arundel bus or something like that. Did someone work with those folks to help them understand that that service has not been discontinued, it's just been taken over?
I think the complaint is from Howard County, you don't have a one-seat ride.
Okay.
So then we're used to having a one-seat ride from Howard County to BWI Airport. They have multiple options, and I think I spoke to at least one of the people that spoke that night. They have multiple options available to them, but unfortunately, at this point, they don't have a one-seat ride option.
And do they understand that that's not necessarily RTA issues because it was taken over?
Right. Yes.
Now, the other things that obviously the hearing ended up being more about service and new buses and driver training and things like that, and I'm sure that somebody took notes of all of that because those are continuing issues.
Yes, and we have in the spreadsheet, we sent out the PDF version. In the Excel version, we have the TDP comments separated.
Okay.
And then we have a general. We can send that out so everybody has it. There's another tab within the workbook that has all of the general comments that were captured as part of the public hearing process.
Yeah. That took up most of the hearing, was just all of those comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were not a lot of direct comments about the routes themselves. But we did try and address the major ones that came up, the hospital.
And Walmart.
right, and the connection between Target and Walmart. We got that message loud and clear.
And as far as accessible bus stops, that seems to be an issue around the entire region.
Yes.
I mean, basically, up to this point, you put up a bus stop sign, and that was all people did. And now I know that we are starting to retrofit ours, too, by putting concrete pads, handicap access, and things like that. But it's expensive, and we do it when the road itself is being either blacktop, redone, or renovated in some way. Then we go through and do that as well.
Yes. It's a long, ongoing process.
Yeah.
The funding standpoint and the different agencies you have to work with to get things done.
Okay. What I didn't hear is the 409 and the 409B, which we talked about. I know you put a response, but I didn't think it was an elaborate response. It kind of needs more explanation to it. Why are we cutting it by 3 hours? All we've asked is that you go to 7:45 as opposed to 6:45 or 6:54. I don't think that's too much of an ask.
Well, the ridership has to act. The median drops off significantly. So what we did was, I know that the service band did shrink, but if you look at the actual service that's added to the 409, we've actually added 800 more hours, added more frequency. So, the 409 and the 409B is now one route. And the 409 has, on the weekends, we're 2 hour headways, during midday, on the weekdays, we're also 2 hour headways. So, what we try to do is beef up the core hours of the service. So now there are no 2 hour headways, it's all 1 hour frequency, throughout the weekday and on the weekend. So we've actually added more hours to beef up that service. I know the service plan, we did scale it back. But we took those hours and added it to make it more frequent and more convenient during the day and on the weekend. Just because, the ridership after the evening for that route was very, very low.
And I understand that the ridership drops off to a certain point there, and I got the numbers, but I don't think it was as dramatic a drop off from 6 to 7:45. I understand not going 8, 9 o'clock is all the drop off, that's fine. But and even adding more time for the account, but they're still gonna be late riders. And then like I said, end of the day they're gonna come back. We're gonna want to take a hit for them for letting off by 3 hours. I mean there's still people that are taking it at 7. I don't see why 7:45 would really make or break everybody by just kind of saying, not doing such a dramatic shift.
If we do a 1 hour, even a 1 hour additional police day, you're talking, another 250, 55, 257 hours annually that would be added. So I know an hour, adding hours is much better over the course of the year for police days, it adds up to a lot of hours. And, we did that, then we'll have to scale back on frequency that we were hoping to beef up on during the bulk of the day where most of the people were riding. To make it more convenient. You're not having to wait 2 hours for a bus. So it's kind of tough and push and pull. So if we add it once, we would have to do something with the level of service during the day or on the weekend for a combination. And we were trying to avoid, for all the closes we came up with, we wanted to avoid having 2 hour hit lanes on any of the routes that we were, that we work on because it just doesn't make sense. It's just so inconvenient to have 2 hour headways. It's almost like not having service at all. So our mission on some of this was trying to beef up where most of the people arrive, giving higher frequency, whether it's an hour or 30 minutes. We just wanted to stay away from the 2 hour headway. And this is the way we were able to do it.
This is Mike from tomorrow. I strongly support Rob's contention. I think there are a lot of people who don't get off work until after 6, especially around here. And these people are going to be really left in a lurch and no transportation at all. So I think Rob's proposal of
kind of splitting the difference there is reasonable.
It would actually be a doubling of the increase that you're referring to, though, because extending the service from 6 to 7 means doing it, I presume, in both directions. So that's actually 2 hours of additional service each weeknight.
So this is Nathan. So you're essentially combining two buses to one bus line and also cutting time duration. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So what's the current service hours for, do you all have a number of the current service hours for both bus lines?
Well, the current service on the 409, regular 409, starts at 6 in the morning, and it runs until about 9 p.m., though it's 2 hour headways at all times other than the morning and evening peak. The 409B, current 409B, is hourly service from about roughly 6:30 in the morning to 5:30 or so at night.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, obviously nobody wants to reduce service, but trying to keep all of this within the budget that we have and still increase the service where we feel is more justified is what's the result of this. As Jason said, we are looking at expanding the 409 to every hour during the daytime, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday, and then 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday. So it's a pretty significant level of service increase where the great bulk of the ridership is now.
We're talking, I mean, we're talking late night, that's what I'm saying, like every hour, okay, that's fine, but it's still, like Mike brought up, it's just those late night riders, people are getting off, and now someone was expecting, though I know those rider numbers, and that's fine, that it is, but that's a heck of a drop off. 3 hours at the end there, I mean, that's going to leave more people upset than I think, I mean, everybody's realizing at that. I understand we're looking for efficiency and so forth, but I mean, wean it in, I would think, to kind of go just a little bit at a time as opposed to just a big hack of man. I understand the hour by hour, but that hour by hour does nothing by someone who's getting off 6:30 at night. That means nothing to them.
True.
So I think the used ridership was one of the major factors in the determination for the span. I guess if you're asking to have it put in, is the city of Laurel willing to support the funding that's needed to
would it be Prince George's County and the city of Laurel, since, you know, they're also Prince George's County residents as well. They're not just city of Laurel residents.
Actually, so yes, it the hours are allocated to Prince George's County and the city of Laurel. You guys are one. So
we will be a total of 257 weekdays in 2019. So that would be 257 times two, which would possibly be 514 hours added, service hours added, to add more hours.
And what would be the cost?
Okay.
Roughly between $40,000 and $45,000 using this year's hourly rate.
And right now, with Prince George's, is not even paying what it's supposed to pay.
I think there was some, yes, that was part of the discussion for this budget season. Yes. The argument of the amount that they were responsible for.
I just want to clarify that Prince George's County is paying, you know, the estimated projections that we were presented.
Up to a point, but there was a problem with what was hoped to be paid.
Yeah, we had an issue with the numbers.
Yeah.
And so we have to kind of work closely with RTA to make sure that our you know, our budget doesn't go too out of bounds for additional costs.
So, Anthony, I guess I would pose the question to you on your thoughts on the 409.
To me, the majority of the 409 serves Howard County. I know we have service hours that are allocated to us, but I don't know how much benefit county residents get from the 409.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I just don't know if it's serving more Howard County residents.
You're asking for more money from us to serve us less hours.
No, I guess that's the thing.
That's what I'm getting, because right now it's at 9:55. You're asking for money to serve us 6:55.
It's not less hours. You're asking 800 additional hours.
Right. Because of the frequency increase, there are more hours.
So is this including the 409 and the 409B hours? Compared to what the new 409 will be?
The total, the proposal was for just one 409. There's not going to be a 409 or 409.
I know. I'm saying, okay, I understand.
I'll just conclude by saying that we'll definitely work closely with you guys.
Cost neutral,
if that can even be done.
What was that last part, Anthony?
Cost neutral. If it can be done, I don't know. Maybe it's wishful thinking on my part.
What would happen if, is it the Saturday and Sunday also closes at that early hour?
There is no Sunday service proposed on the 409.
And what about Saturday?
From 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Which is what it is right now?
I believe so, yes. But the current frequency is every 2 hours all day Saturday. This will be improving it every hour.
All right, so the time that we're actually talking about is Monday through Friday?
Yes.
All right, so. And obviously, if you make it less frequent during the middle of the day?
Well, currently it's every 2 hours during the middle of the day on weekdays, and we're proposing to expand that to make it every hour throughout the daytime, including midday times.
And if you went back to 2 hours during midday, that screws up a lot of other schedules.
Well, and what it does is just makes the service very unattractive during a time period when more people are using it. I mean, I hear where you're going with this. If you removed some of the service frequency in the midday, you could use those resources to extend the evening hours, and that is correct. It really comes down to a question of, I hate to reduce this to raw numbers, as these are human beings we're talking about, but there's just a lot more people who need the service during the midday than they do after 7 p.m.
What were the numbers that we're talking about?
After 7, you mean?
Yeah.
Let's see. Kristen, do you have those exact numbers? Because I remember that was being discussed during the hearing.
The ridership number on the 409?
I believe this was being asked for, yes.
Okay. Give me a minute. I can find it.
The proposal, as it stands now, is that the last bus would depart from both ends at 6 p.m. So when we say it runs till 7, that really means that the final trip begins at 6 and finishes its run shortly before 7. That would be in both directions.
That's how it's marked out now when it says it ends at like 9:55, it's going to end on both ends.
Well, at that hour, it's only every 2 hours, and so what that means is it's one bus shuttling back and forth. So it leaves Laurel on the even numbered hours, and it leaves Elkridge on the odd numbered hours.
Month of September that we sampled, the per trip average at 5 p.m. on the weekday trip. 5 p.m., it was at an average of 5.7 per trip. Inbound, 7.8 outbound. At 6 p.m., it was 6 inbound, 4 outbound. The 7 p.m. trip inbound was 3.2. The 8 p.m. outbound was 3.1. And the 9 p.m. was 0.25 per trip.
And so I can see why you dropped the 3 hours, basically.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the average trip in and out, like at noon and 1 and 2?
I have to get that for you. I don't have that. It's drive. We looked at specifically that 5 to 9 p.m.
I might have an answer to that question if I can just call it up here on my computer real quick, because I did do a quick look on the 409 during the midday hours as well as the peak hours, so let me call that up. What did I find? Let's see. All right, why am I not finding it? I'm sorry. It's taking me just a moment to dig through my computer files here. That's why I opened the wrong files. All right, sorry about that. So, let's see, departing from Laurel, that's outbound. We had 10 riders on the 12 noon trip. We had another 10 riders on the 2 o'clock trip. Now, inbound, let's see, we had 4 riders on the 11 a.m. trip and 6 riders on the 1 p.m. trip.
So, I mean, empirically, what you're doing makes sense, at least to me, as a kind of a layman looking at it.
But if I'm one of the 3 that no longer have bus service, I could see I'd be pretty upset. But, sometimes you look at a bus and it's running with nobody in it. And to me, that's not efficient. But if they're picking up just one person, is that any more efficient? To the bus driver, their bus line, no, it's not. But to that one person, that's probably a lifesaver. So, it's hard to tell.
Unfortunately, if we do re-extend the evening service, something else has to give somewhere else unless additional funding is made available.
Right.
That was the dilemma that we were facing. It's certainly not that we want to cut off evening service. That was actually pretty late in the process when that decision came up, because we were trying to trim back other things to fit into the budget, but it still wasn't fitting. We did feel it was important to expand the midday service, because there is more ridership then with 2-hour service, and we believe that providing an hourly service will make the entire route much more attractive to existing and potential riders.
And I agree with you. We're having the same situation with WMATA with some of our lines, because they shut down, and some folks in D.C., they come off of the metro, and that closes at 11. There's absolutely no bus line, no bus routes at that point. And so it's hard for these folks that have late working hours. How do they manage to get to work and back home again?
Yep.
I guess they go Uber.
So, Kristen, are there any other changes? Or, we'll come back to this when we need a motion for this specific route. But of any of the other commissioners who were there or were not in friendly comments, are there any other thoughts, suggestions, words of wisdom for the good of the order concerning what we're doing?
No, you took care of Walmart, you took care of the hospital. That seemed to be the hot button issues.
Yeah, I
agree. I do want to reiterate that I remain concerned as a commissioner about some of our general employee attitude. The lady without the supervisor, I know sometimes the situations get exaggerated, but I'd like to make sure that the management stays focused on that. And at our just January meeting, let us know what we are doing to try to improve, you know, our attitudes of our providers to our customers.
Okay.
With respect to the routes, as sitting there listening, I think you've done a good job. I know it's tough, and I hear you fellas from Laurel what you're saying, but, you know, we're trying to allocate scarce resources and put them to the most productive use. And, you know, that's what I have to say about that. I don't know. Are you looking for a motion, Kristen, or what do you need from us as the commissioners?
So a motion to move forward with the proposal, with the staff recommendations in terms of the few changes, the minor changes. So if we receive that motion, then Howard County would schedule a meeting with the county executive to present this proposal to be moved forward.
I'm going to circle back to the Jay and Mike and everybody from Laurel and ask if you could support that motion if we put it forward, or just give you one more chance to voice your thoughts and concerns here.
I think it was kind of said what Andy said on it. I understand where you guys are coming from and some of the numbers you're showing. The dramatic drop off on that is just something I can't get over. I think the city can get over on that. So I can't support it as a whole because I can't support that piece. I can support the other parts of it, but if it's one motion, based on that, I'm enough.
I could support the motion if there is a statement to the fact that there is concern from the commission about the route cutback hours, understanding that it may be a funding issue, but that if funds become available, that extra hour be added.
And we can include that it would be one assessed based on ridership demand. And as funding becomes available, and we can share that with the county executive.
If that condition is added to the motion, then I could support the motion.
I don't think I could support it. Just to speak on behalf of the city, it'd be tough for me to justify this to the administration.
So let me ask you, as a point of order, do we need an unanimous support to have the motion pass, or we need a majority? Do I have any of my parliamentarians here that know the bylaw?
I think our vote is weighted.
I believe it would be the majority, and because most of the service resides in Howard County would have the largest say, I believe. So if three of the four voted in favor of it, it could be moved forward, I believe.
Well, on behalf of my fellow commissioners from the city of Laurel, with all due respect to their concerns, and I hear them loud and clear, I would like to propose a motion to approve the route changes as discussed at the public hearing, and then with the changes RTA have incorporated in response to the feedback we received at the public hearing, with the proviso that the city of Laurel and Prince George's County are expressing serious concerns about the dramatic reduction of the service in the later hours, the 6 to 9 range or the 7 to 10, whatever it was, and that we would like all the county executives to be made aware of it, and if at all possible, come up with some funding to restore that portion of the service that has been cut.
Well, at least to the extra hour.
For the one extra hour.
Yeah.
I amended it for the 1 hour. Thank you, Jeff.
I'll second that.
So we now have a motion has been seconded. If you don't mind, just kind of all the commissioners state your name as we all start, and whoever wants to follow on how you vote. I'm Alan Cornell with Howard County, and I vote in the affirmative.
Jay Davis, Prince George's County, yes.
Ron Dillon, the Oklahoma County guest.
Robert Lama, City of Laurel, no.
Entire City of Laurel, no.
Are there any other commissioners on the call? So let the, I guess the vote reflects that the commissioners from Prince George's, Howard, and Anne Arundel have voted affirmative, and the commissioners from the City of Laurel have voted no.
Okay. Kristen, this is Anthony. Is it possible to get the cost impact or was it already sent to the jurisdictions for this proposal?
So I think I sent out, going back to the multiple versions of the budget, I think there was a version of the budget that included the implementation, the annual cost for the implementation of this.
Okay.
I think what's going to be asked, though, if you do take this forward with that extra condition, they're going to know what is the extra cost needed to add that extra hour, which you've already given to us, and the number of trips, and how many riders that does affect for that one particular hour.
Okay. Okay. So I believe we will put something together that's going to look very similar to what was sent out to you today. That will be taken to the county executive, and he will coordinate with his fellow county executives on this plan, and we should have some update for you. With the holiday, we're probably looking at sometime in January. We are likely going to be, it's going to be a bit of time just because of the holiday and the county executives all being new, so getting on their schedule.
And I know that you're going to be meeting with them. Are you meeting with them individually or together?
I think, and I'm not 100% certain, but I think the process has been that Howard County meets with their county executive, and he would confer, they would confer with the other county executive before making a decision.
And I'm sure this is probably going to be suggested by the other counties. Since we have new county executives, has there been any plans to meet with some of these county executives and their transportation staff individually to explain the situation? I mean, the entire situation, not just this particular one.
There has loosely been talk about having that conversation, but nothing has been firmly scheduled. I think with some of the staff level changes that have taken place in the last week or two, it's sort of thrown things for
right.
A bit of a loop. But I think the intent is there. It just hasn't.
Jay, this is Anthony.
Sorry.
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
I just to close the loop on that, Jay, we will raise it on our side with the Alterbrooks team.
Okay. If you need me to come along with you, I'd be very glad to do that.
Okay. I'll definitely mention that.
I mean, she knows who I am, so.
Yes, yes. Okay. Thank you. Sorry for interrupting. Okay.
Yeah, Jay,
so
Kristen, is there any other business we need to take care of?
There is not.
All right. Well, on behalf of all the staff and everybody and the commissioners, we thank the staff. Everybody have happy holidays, and if anybody has any questions or concerns, would like to talk to me, feel free to call me or email me. And otherwise, Kristen, you'll send something out to us so we can see what the motion looked like and what you sent out.
Yes.
All right. Happy holidays to everybody. And Laurel, sorry we couldn't help you out, but I think maybe if we can find the money, we can do that.
Can we check our slacking?
Thanks, everyone. I'm dropping off.
Okay.
See you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.